I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is your safe space for independent thinking. No political talking points, no pandering to any group or another. We just call them like we see them here for a couple of hours. Appreciate you joining me today. This is breaking news day. We see the arrest of Steve Bannon. Apparently has been arrested on charges. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Interested to hear your take. I kind of know where everybody will be automatically when you see the headline. Trump supporters will say he's completely innocent. This is the deep state doing deep state stuff. And Democrats will say, we knew he was evil. Look, another Trump minion goes down. And the truth will probably be somewhere in the middle. We don't really know. It's a pretty sad story if it turns out to be true. This is in response to misuse of funds from the We Build the Wall crowdfunding effort. You know, I've talked a lot about the wall. I thought the crowdfunding effort for We Build the Wall was interesting because I think they ended up raising somewhere around $25 million. And this was with pretty extensive press and with a very energized group of Trump supporters or other people who wanted to see some border security. And I pointed out at the time, I said, that shows you how much, you know, the $100 billion that it would cost to actually build the wall, that shows you how much it is. When you get all that energy and you get hundreds of thousands of people to donate and you can only raise $25 million, that shows you what a big figure $100 billion is. And it kind of bolstered my point is to say that's why we're never going to have a wall. I said that from the beginning. I'm sticking to it now, too. I know that's not popular, but it's what I believe to be reality. So we'll take a look at Steve Bannon. I've got to read a little bit. It's always inconvenient for me. I wish they would do these kinds of arrests on the afternoon before a show. Evenings are good. If they can do these arrests around 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, then most conservative talk radio is gone. I'll be one of the first people to get to the story, and I've got a couple of hours to research it. Very, very inconsiderate of the Justice Department to do this arrest this morning without giving me time to prepare. But anyway, quotes of the day, a couple of things I ran across. Hans Rosling wrote a 2018 book called Factfulness. A quote from that says, when we are afraid, we do not see clearly. Critical thinking is always difficult, but it's almost impossible when we are scared. There's no room for facts when our minds are occupied by fear. And this is why they roll out things like the war on terror, the war on drugs, and the war on COVID. Because it's all about fear, and well, that's when we make our worst decisions. Also, from something along the same lines, when it comes to COVID, Gary D. Barnett wrote a long piece, and I pulled a little chunk out of it. It said, the fraudulent nature of this conspiracy is so obvious as to be in stark contrast with reality, but so many cannot see, or more accurately, do not want to accept this truth. The frustration this brings to thinking individuals is brutal. Because even though the state narrative has been proven over and over again to be full of holes and lies, it is as if total blindness has overtaken society at large. This apathetic response is being embraced due to a fear of the truth, but the consequences of this attitude will be fatal to many and perilous to all but the upper class. This so-called coronavirus has never been a real problem or threat to the world's populations, not more than any other normal flu, but the state's response is so deadly that it could bring about widespread horror that would affect everybody on the planet. That's Gary D. Barnett, and I bolster that point with this. You know, I have been wanting to get back to Australia. I've got my traveling buddy out there in Colorado. She and I went to the Bahamas. We have a trip to Hawaii planned if they ever let us mainlanders back on their island. Hawaii is just not giving up the ghost on this thing. They do not want visitors to Hawaii to come from the mainland, so my Hawaii trip with her is postponed. But we've talked also about trying to get to Australia at some point. Listen to this. The Prime Minister for Australia said this about the vaccine yesterday. Australia should make any coronavirus vaccine compulsory for its 25 million citizens, bar medical exemptions. This is the Prime Minister of Australia calling on all citizens against their will, or, I mean, some will take it willingly, but to force the government 25 million people to take a vaccine. This comes with the knowledge that the overstated total deaths in Australia have reached only 400 out of 25 million citizens. That's a death rate of 0.00016%. A compulsory vaccine in a reaction to a disease that has killed 0.00016%. The total deaths, actually, I checked it this morning. Now it is at 463. So that might be 0.00017%. I didn't go back and do the math, but it is absolutely insane. So my hopes of a visit to Australia for right now are certainly going to be on hold, as I would imagine they will require the immunity passport before you enter Australia. Today is day three of my non-coverage of the Democratic National Convention. Conventions, if you live long enough, I don't know, if most people don't notice this because a lot of people are still kind of entrenched in the two-party political system in the audience of the theater. To me, it's like Groundhog Day, you know, the movie itself, where you just, every 4 years, you wake up and you see the exact same thing over again. It's a bunch of people presented to us like it means something, liar after liar, pandering to people. It's covered like a news story. What did I hear? Did Barack Obama criticize Donald Trump? That's breaking news this morning on NBC. Kamala Harris said something earth-shattering, like there's no, what did she say? There's no vaccine for racism, some ridiculousness like that. This is news to people. And what's funny is if you live long enough, if you go through these things, you realize it's just a rehashing every 4 years of essentially the same back and forth. The Democrats say their things. The Republicans respond to it from the sidelines. And next week, the Republicans will say their things and the Democrats will respond from their sidelines. John Whitehead, to kind of throw in another quote, I guess. John Whitehead is with the Rutherford Institute, wrote this: for the next 3 months, Americans will be dope-fed billions of dollars worth of political propaganda aimed at keeping them glued to their television sets, or computers in this case, and persuading them that, number one, their votes count, and number two, electing the right candidate will fix everything that is wrong with this country. And that's most certainly true. It's very interesting. As an observer of the craziness going on in the world, it is just that. It is crazy, and we're seeing it with coronavirus. We're seeing it with the conventions. It's everywhere. It is absolutely everywhere to thinking people. It's truly a bizarre time to be alive. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I've got my new report, or another daily report. This is earnings week for a lot of the biggest corporations in America. I've reported on Walmart smashing expectations. Target yesterday, just knocking it out of the park. Main Street, not so much. But, you know, these big corporations really killing it in my report on the reverse Robinhood recovery plan. And I've got another report from yesterday. Another milestone was reached we should all be so thrilled with in this, what I'm going to start calling the W recovery. We do not have a V-shaped recovery. Now, the market, stock market, that's a nice, pretty V. But for the economy, it's a W recovery, and I'll explain that when I come back. Stay
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller, and Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. We'll be right back.
is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I wanted to talk a little bit about the financial stuff. This is a bit of my forte, my hobby, my interest, and I don't think people are paying attention to it. I kind of called the stimulus, that's air quotes here in the studio, the stimulus plan we've had, which is essentially soft socialism. It's across the board. You know, the government shuts everything down, and then they start paying people for the damage that they caused. This is totalitarian socialism is exactly what we're seeing right now, but it's couched in this idea that it's all completely necessary. Anyway, I don't even need to get started in that, but I'm calling this the reverse Robin Hood rescue plan, and I say that because what it's doing is it's just this huge wealth transfer has been going on now, particularly since 2008, 2009, this huge wealth transfer from essentially the middle class up to that 0.01%. It's amazing to watch because it's happening in real time right in front of us, yet it's really not discussed very much. And while people are clinging to hopes of a V-shaped recovery, and we have seen a V-shaped recovery in the stock market, the real economy, the Main Street economy, the you and me economy, is mired in a recession. And I would imagine will be for quite some time, barring more socialism. You know, kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, I guess. But I'm also calling this not a V-shaped recovery. It's a W-shaped recovery because it is benefiting, most importantly, Wall Street, the W being for Wall Street. Apple yesterday became the first company to ever reach a $2 trillion market cap. $2 trillion. So this week we've had Walmart and Target smashing expectations, and now Apple has reached $2 trillion in market cap. Elon Musk, who produces really relatively few cars each year, has also been one of the biggest beneficiaries of what's been going on here as the Federal Reserve floods all this phony money into stock markets. He now is, the fourth richest person in the United States, and his car company is worth about 50% more than Toyota, which was the largest and most profitable car manufacturer on planet Earth until Tesla started delivering, I think, something like 300,000 cars a year. It is absolutely absurd. So what we have is a W-shaped recovery, meaning it is all going to the W's in Wall Street. Pay no attention to the millions of people about to lose their homes. Have you seen the statistics of hundreds of thousands, millions of people losing their homes, being evicted? Pay no attention to the hundreds of thousands of small businesses shuttered for good. No, pay no attention to the 30 million unemployed people collecting unemployment benefits right now. And whatever you do, pay no attention to the $27 trillion in national debt. Add in the $7 trillion the Fed has on its balance sheet, and pay no attention to the $34 trillion that's on your heads. Just keep saying, it's a V-shaped recovery, the economy, never before. This is my, get ready, here it comes, criticism of Donald Trump for him to crow about the greatest, fastest recovery ever. Absolutely asinine. Here's Apple. Apple hit a market cap of $2 trillion Wednesday, doubling in valuation in just over 2 years to become the first publicly traded U.S. company to reach this milestone. Yeah, it was a big deal when Apple, Google, I guess it was Facebook, we're all kind of jockeying to see who was going to be the first $1 trillion company. And that was not that long ago. Now it has doubled. Apple hit that trillion and has gone on to be a $2 trillion company based on a share count of more than 4.275 billion shares. Apple broke the barrier just before 11 a.m. yesterday when its price rose to $467.77. Apple first reached its $1 trillion market cap on August 2nd, 2018. Wall Street has largely expected the iPhone maker to become the first to surpass $2 trillion. On July 31st, Apple passed the state oil giant Saudi Aramco to become the world's most valuable publicly traded company. So I guess we know now what people did with the $3,400 to a family of four in government checks. And we know what people did with their extra $600 a week in enhanced unemployment. They bought Chinese-made phones. So the globalist, I mean, this is fascinating to me that nobody seems to be paying attention to this. The globalist, and not only the just the globalist, but the tech, the left coast, left wing tech oligarchs are richer than ever right now. And nobody seems to really have a problem with that. It didn't take long for other tech giants, Amazon, Microsoft, and Alphabet, to match Apple's $1 trillion market cap back in a while. So you've got Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and Google, along with Apple, are the companies that have just been growing. And I'm telling you, this is a wealth transfer. Again, look, I don't have a problem. Apple makes a good product. I have got an Apple iPhone. I'm starting to rebel against all of the technology stuff a little bit. I'm kind of sick of all of them, but they do make a good product. And if you make a good product, that's great. But when the federal government starts sending out checks on the backs of taxpayers, you know, the government doesn't have any money. It either steals it from people today in terms of taxes, or it steals it from future generations and gives it to people to use with Apple, and Apple ends up being a $2 trillion company. That is not capitalism, and where I have a problem. And I was starting to think, you know, there was a lot of consternation on the right, correctly, when the Obama phone came out. Do you remember this? I can't remember what the... It's like a track phone or something like that. It was a simple phone, but everybody was very excited. I don't even know. I never saw one of these. I don't know anybody who got them, but the story was, you know, a pretty famous clip of a woman going, "I got my Obama phone." Well, should we not have a Trump phone? Should we not have a Trump iPhone? I mean, it kind of seems like if taxpayers are going to be on the hook to pump disposable income, I mean, an extra $600 a month buys a lot of iPhones. For unemployed people, the $3,400 that people got from the government, that buys a lot of iPhones. We should have the Trump iPhone. I've got a story here. I guess I'll need to take a break. I really want to get into this. I want you to be thinking about something. In 1985, it took 30 weeks for people to earn enough money during the course of a year to pay for the basic necessities of life. 30 weeks. And that's in 1985. So I want you to think about it. When I come back in just a second, I'm going to talk a little bit about how long it takes now. So make your guesses. It was 30 weeks in 1985. You can probably tell by the tone of my voice and the fact that I'm covering the story in the first place. It hasn't gotten any better, but it should be... It'll be interesting to take a look at that. So in 85, it took 30 weeks of labor to provide for the basics in the middle class in the United States. How many weeks does it take now? We'll do that in just a second. Before I get there, I wanted to talk about this. This was a story on the Hill yesterday. Trigger alert. This is going to make it sound like I'm about to be criticizing the Trump administration, but this is a bipartisan criticism. It is just showing you that the swamp is in no way, shape, or form drained. This is a story in The Hill yesterday. Over 500 clients hired Trump-connected lobbyists so far in 2020. Again, don't worry, I'm getting to the same thing has happened with Pelosi-connected lobbyists, Schumer-connected lobbyists, McConnell-connected lobbyists. Lobbyists connected to President Trump have been hired by 551 clients so far in 2020 to lobby on various issues, including coronavirus relief. This was a report from the Center for Responsive Politics. These watchdog groups have got to just be losing their mind. I guess they've got a lot to do, but they've never looked so impotent. Of those 551 clients, 154 clients deployed Trump-tied lobbyists on issues related to the coronavirus. Lobbyists connected to Trump secured more than $10 billion in coronavirus relief aid for clients as of July. Now, that's from a progressive watchdog. I'm not a progressive here. I want to spear everybody equally. He goes through some of these people who were former, let's see. You got bundlers for the Trump administration, Brian Ballard and Jeff Miller. They were two of the biggest recipients They raised more than $2.7 million for Trump's reelection, and so they're in a position. So what they do is they bundle this money for, and this happens in both parties. This is not a Trump problem. This is a political corruption problem. These people raise a bunch of money. They give it to the campaigns. The campaigns say, hey, great, let us know if we can do anything for you. And they go, huh, funny you mention that. I've got a lobbying shop, and I've got all these clients that sure would like a taste of that fat, juicy, what have they done now in coronavirus relief? Somewhere around $3 trillion. They're considering another $1.5 trillion. And so these people who bundle campaign contributions for all of these politicians, not just Donald Trump, every single one of them in both parties, if they have any power and any, you know, if you're in the Appropriations Committee, I'm sure you get plenty of lobbying calls. So these people bundle money for the candidates in exchange for a favor that they can go out and hire, get hired by clients to go in and find ways to get this relief. Let's see what it goes down to. I want to be fair. Former aides to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell were hired by 275 clients so far in 2020, and 149 of those clients hired McConnell-connected lobbyists to work on coronavirus-related issues. The group found that 29 lobbyists who are former aides to McConnell secured these clients. Former aides to Speaker Nancy Pelosi, were hired by 232 clients so far in 2020, and 115 of those clients hired these lobbyists to work on coronavirus-related issues. 18 former aides to Nancy Pelosi secured these clients. 16 former aides to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, who are now lobbyists, have been hired by 127 clients, and 57 were for coronavirus-related issues, and 10 former aides to House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who are now lobbyists, have been hired by 151 clients, and 72 were coronavirus-related issues. Do you see why I don't say there's a whole lot of difference between these two political parties? And do you see why I say the swamp is as deep as it's ever been? This is the thing. I mean, this is American politics in a nutshell. You can pay attention to all of the stuff that goes on with the political convention this week and all of the stuff that goes on in the political convention next week when the Republicans have theirs. These lobbyists don't care who's in office. They just want access. And these politicians, one of the main reasons that they put out these big bills, these big spending bills, the reason the government grows every year is because politicians need to have access to more taxpayer cash and debt cash to hand out to special interests that they're lobbied for. Understand what I'm saying? The more money that Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, and Kevin McCarthy control, the better for them personally. They will be given more money by lobbyists, more campaign contributions. The more money they control, the more favors they can dole out, the better for them. It's both political parties. And the sick thing is, you and I, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren are the ones that have to pay for this corruption. It's like they come to your house and they're ripping checks out of your checkbook, essentially. And yet everybody believes that their side will fix it. Those nut job Democrats, and they are nut jobs. Some people think the nut job Democrats, if they win, that they're going to fix it all. This is real politics in America. What you see this week and next week during the conventions, that's just the show. It's all just a production put on for our benefit. All right, when we come back again, in 1985, it took 30 weeks for the middle class to earn the basics for life. How many weeks now in 2020 does it take for the average American to pay for the basics of life before having savings and investing and being able to buy extra things? Interesting, interesting number. Stay with me. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I'm going to get to the Steve Bannon. I'm trying to read up about it, although, you know, facts are going to be sparse right now, and everybody's going to draw their own conclusion, depending on whether or not they are a supporter of Trump or they think Trump is the devil. So facts don't really matter too much, but we're going to try to parse through them and see what's going on. It could be a sad story. It could be a hit job. Who knows? I wanted to cover this, though, because this is real stuff. I found it very, very interesting. And the question is, as we talk about, you know, what I am trying to get people to kind of wake up to on this show a lot is that no party's protecting you out there. Yeah, you're very important to the parties right now, right? For the next 3 months, they want you to vote. They want you to, you know, either vote by mail. They want you to go through all the rigmarole to get an absentee ballot. They want you to show up at the polls. They're asking a lot of you now. They need your campaign contributions. It's just that majority of the time, they don't really seem to care. And this is one of those statistics that kind of shows you what I see. How many weeks does it take the average American to earn enough just for the basics? This is, you know, food, rent, mortgage, clothing, you know, the basics of life to get through the basics. How many weeks of work does it take before you start having extra disposable income? In 1985, it took 30 weeks. So out of the 52 weeks of the year, 30, you needed to work to provide for the basics. Then you had 22 weeks for the rest of the year, and when you earned money there, that was for things like savings and investing and, you know, maybe college or you know what I mean, right? You had 22 weeks of savings back then. That was 1985. Bank of America did a study recently. Let's see what it says here. As Bank of America points out, while the recent COVID shutdowns has thrown the economy into disarray with millions laid off and living on government stimulus checks, life for the vast majority of workers, for example, those who comprise the country's middle class, was already precarious before the pandemic, and nowhere is this more evident than in the cost of thriving index. Consider that in 1985, it took 30 weeks at the median wage to pay for big fixed costs like housing, health care, a car, and education. Fast forward to today when it takes a mathematically impossible 53 weeks of a 52-week year to buy those things. In 1985, it took 30 weeks to work to afford the basics of life in the United States. Now, each year, it takes you 53 weeks. Now, Joe Biden might not understand why that's a problem because he has real problems with math, but I hope most of you understand that 53 is a concerning number. And again, this is for the basics in life. In other words, as Bank of America puts it, quote, thriving has become impossible for the average worker, and adds that, quote, it's no wonder that the uncertainty of forecasts for future growth remain near record highs. Of course, it's also why millions of Americans are desperately looking forward to another stimulus round, and then another, and another after that, for the simple reason that it was the government's pandemic relief that boosted compensation to artificial, if one-time, record highs. This story ends with this statement, or this statement/question. The question is whether this one-time stimulus, which many equate with universal basic income, has become a permanent fixture of American life. The Mike Madison Show and your host, Mike Madison, says the answer to that question is yes. Yes. We have fully now embraced universal basic income. And regardless of which party occupies the White House come November 4th of this year, we will be seeing more of a universal basic income. Now, what is the cause of this, Mike? Because it doesn't seem right. We've had this boom. Look at the stock market charts. The stock market always goes up. How can it be that the average American working class family is falling behind like that? And it takes 53 weeks out of the year to afford the basics of life. And again, I point this out too. What's just stunning to me is that we had a country that back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, when we became this industrial powerhouse, when we really had built something and there were no home equity loans. People might have gotten a mortgage for a reasonable priced house and usually paid cash for a car. Maybe they financed a car, but the car was relatively inexpensive. You took vacations each year. People put away savings. Only one parent had to work. There were no credit card bills, and you didn't finance a television. We weren't the debt slaves that we are now. And somehow they took that country and turned it into this, both political parties hand in hand. Everybody's had their shot at the apple, right? Everybody's had their bite at the apple. Full Republican government, full Democrat government, half and half, half one way, a little bit of advantage to one party, little advantage to the other party. We've tried every conceivable combination. We find ourselves with a situation where it takes the average middle-class worker 53 weeks a year. Now, I'm going to give you my solution to that in just a second. You know, they say a lot about talk radio. Oh, you complain a lot, but you never offer solutions. I've got the solution to this, but I got to throw this in there. I hate to tell you this. This statistic, this moving of a quality of life out of reach of the middle class in the United States is almost entirely due to one institution. Anybody guess what it is? If you're a regular listener to the show, you probably know what's coming. That's right. It's the Federal Reserve. This central bank that nobody wants to talk about, that Sean Hannity doesn't want to talk about, that Rush Limbaugh doesn't want to talk to you about, that has been printing money endlessly for 40, 50 years now, and really meddling in the economy for well over 100 now. They've been printing so much money and doing all the little things that they do, manipulating interest rates to encourage more debt, so that your purchasing power of the dollar, of what Americans make, has been destroyed. That's why prices go up. And it is the corruption and the spending by both political parties that enable the Fed to do this. As I said, it goes back to my point just a second ago. The reason that there's so many lobbyists and there's so much corruption in Washington, D.C. is because these politicians in both parties try to get as big a pie as they can. That's why budgets always go up. That's why they won't ever cut government. That's why there's no seriousness about balancing a budget or reducing government spending. Because the more money they have control over, the more favors they can dole out to their donor class. And the Federal Reserve enables this by just saying, hey, spend whatever you want. We'll just make more. We'll print more. So the Fed prints more money to accommodate the reckless spending of both parties in Washington, D.C., and to be honest with you, in states around the country too, not as badly, but. And that printing of money raises prices, it dilutes the value of the dollar, it harms your purchasing power, and now we are in a situation where the average middle-class working person takes 53 weeks a year to afford anything. The problem is 99% of people will not understand this. They don't want to hear about the Federal Reserve. What a big yawn, Mike. So instead, for this week and next week, they'll take turns cheering for their political tribe or their party like it even matters. I do have an answer for this, though. Look, I'm about solutions here. A lot of knocks on talk radio. Oh, you're always complaining. You're always pointing out the bad things. You're never actually giving us. Well, what do we do then? I mean, I have people ask me this. Well, what do you propose we do? All right, well, let's look at this situation right now. It takes 53 weeks to earn enough to cover the basics now here in the United States if you're in the middle class. So I have a solution. We should make every week only 6 days instead of seven. We're just going to have to cut one day. I mean, Sundays are so relaxing. Saturdays are fun. Let's take out, I don't want to miss my health show, Hump Day Health. I guess I could move that to another day. Thursdays maybe, bring the weekend in. Let's just get rid of Thursdays. Make every week only six days. And then we would have seven more extra weeks in a year. We would end up, instead of 52 weeks a year, we'd have 59. So theoretically, we could take those extra weeks there, and that's where we would save our money. You'd have 6 weeks of profit if we did that. Now, I shouldn't say that out loud. Some politician will hear that and maybe think that that's a serious... I hope everybody does understand. Again, Joe Biden wouldn't understand the sarcasm in that. You do understand that doesn't work, right? You still have to make it through 365 days on a certain amount of money. It doesn't matter how many actual weeks are in the... Yeah, okay, you get what I'm saying. Anyway, this is why. This is why this show comes on air every day and castigates these two parties and does not get into it. Look, I don't want to see the left take control. I understand people who want to support Donald Trump because you think you're stopping these freaks in Portland. I totally get that. I'm with you emotionally. It's just intellectually. There's more work to be done. We need to walk and chew gum at the same time. If you want to hold off the left with one hand, you should have a whip in the other hand beating the current Republican Party back into shape. The problem is you don't ever do the second part. And this is why we end up where we are right now. It takes 53 weeks a year to earn the basics here in the United States. It's because of the Federal Reserve. I know you don't like to talk about it. Unfortunately, it's the truth. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
If you are at all interested in learning, you know, basics of economics, I know it's probably a pretty dry subject to a lot of people, but if you kind of want to understand exactly what's going on, this would be my great dream, that the country, the people, would understand exactly what goes on economically, and particularly when it comes to things like a central bank, the Federal Reserve, which is what, plank number three in the Communist Manifesto? And yet, so why do Republicans allow this third plank of the Communist Manifesto to be in Washington, D.C. in the Eccles Building? I'll answer you why. Because it facilitates all of their spending and their corruption. That's why the Republican Party doesn't talk about the Federal Reserve outside of some people like Rand Paul, Ron Paul, his dad. Some of the more libertarian people, some of the more free market people, there's just a handful of them. They're trying to get the Fed audited, things like that. And the rhinos, the main establishment Republicans, fight against this stuff. But it is so important. I was listening to the Peter Schiff podcast this morning. And Peter Schiff does a very good job. You can get his podcast. He does a good job of kind of explaining economics in pretty simple terms. I mean, he understands it. The guy's smart, smart, smart. But I think he does a pretty good job of putting it in some context for people. He did a great piece, did a YouTube video of him going to Occupy Wall Street. And he was very sympathetic, as was I, to Occupy Wall Street and what they were protesting, which was the bailing out of the big banks using taxpayer dollars. But he made, you know, he went to Occupy Wall Street and he said, I think he put up a sign. He said, I am the 1%. You know, ask me why or something like that. And he started educating people. He didn't go into Occupy Wall Street and push them or kick them in the head or call them communist or anything like that. He went in there and started talking to them. It's pretty fascinating. It's a long video. I think he filmed for 2 hours, but it went pretty viral and it was very interesting. People need to understand this, and you would probably quit fighting with Democrats or Republicans on Twitter if you understood some of these things. Anyway, I was listening to his podcast this morning, and he made reference to this video by Warren Buffett, who explains inflation to you and the fact that nobody understands it.
Inflation, Keynes said it many years ago, that it's an invisible tax that only one man in a million really understands, and it's a tax on people that have had faith in their currency that the government's issued. It's interesting. In the United States, the value of the dollar since I was born has declined by 94% to 6 cents. So inflation is a very cruel tax on people who believe in fixed dollars. But inflation, Keynes said it many.
So that's Warren Buffett explaining to you that inflation is a tax. So when I do a story about the fact that they're looking at the thriving index now, and it says the average American middle class worker needs to work for 53 weeks a year in order to afford the basics in the United States, you have to understand that's because there's been this stealth, understood, if that's a word, little understood tax imposed by us by this money printing cabal of the Federal Reserve that benefits the big banks and the politicians and none of us. And so this is why I get so frustrated with people screaming at each other over Twitter about one personality or another. It's why, look, if you don't like Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, I get it. It may be objectionable to some people, but boy, it's like number 250 on the problems that we face. And what I'm talking about now is in like the top three. But there's no talk about it because you're conditioned by most talking heads, because the political parties want to keep this game going. Democrats don't talk about this either. Ooh, they sure don't want to talk about this. They talk about how they're for the little guy, yet Democrats have sat by, like I just reported to you, since 1985 when it took 30 weeks to afford to live in the United States and cover your basics. Now it's 53 weeks. The Democrats haven't said. Now they talk a lot about wages and stuff because that's kind of you know, that's a way to cast everybody as this victim of, you know, others in society. But it's not even wages. It's this eating away at our way of life through inflation, this stealth tax. Not to mention the actual taxes that we pay and the fines and fees, all the rest of the stuff that they pluck our pockets for. It's this stealth tax that's out there as well. And this is what is transferring. I've made this point before. I'm going to make it again. When you understand, when the Federal Reserve sets 0% interest rates, let me just explain to you how that is a wealth transfer. I just talked about Apple having a $2 trillion market cap. Let me explain to you how that works. You, if you deposited $100 years ago, every year you got $5. Now you get 50 cents. You get $4.50 less per year, right? Because interest rates were at 5%. Now they're basically at zero. You get $4.50 less. Apple borrows money. They used to pay 5% to borrow money. So if they borrowed $100, they'd have to pay $5 for that. Now they only pay 50 cents. They keep $4.50 in their pocket. That's $4.50 that would have been in your pocket through savings at a decent interest rate. Instead, the biggest corporations that get access to this free money, they save it in interest. It is a wealth transfer from you to them. Understand it.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. Want to hear from anybody who has an opinion on the Steve Bannon arrest. I was actually trying to look at some news here. Like I said, it was very inconsiderate of them to arrest him so close to the beginning of my show. I haven't had a lot of time to research that. I would imagine most people have a gut reaction to it. Either you hate Donald Trump and you think this is just another criminal in the Trump administration, or you are a Trump supporter and you believe this is a political hit job coming from, looks like, the Southern District of New York. So who knows actually what the truth is here. I'm very open-minded to these things, the possibility that that somebody skimmed money off of a large fundraiser is not a hard leap to make. They are apparently, we'll go through the people that are being charged in a second here, but at the same time, we certainly can't trust the Justice Department either. Isn't it a wonderful world to live in? When you know, the thing is when I see anything come out of our government, it took me a while to catch on to this. I will say that. I was into my 30s before I really understood this, but if you understand this, you will free your mind to a great degree. Anything that comes out of our government is suspect. And the problem is that people sometimes lend too much credibility to our government in certain areas, and they say that, well, they lie all the time in this area, but they're telling the truth here. Let me give you an example. They lied all the time on unemployment figures during Barack Obama to make him look good, but now they're telling the truth under Donald Trump. That's not true. They lied about the Russia investigation into Donald Trump, which is quite obvious they did. We know about the fabrications on everything and this deep state plot to unseat Trump and have him removed from office. You see that, but then you say the same intelligence agencies that were involved in that, that tell you that Iran is an existential threat to the United States, you believe that part. And this is the problem, is that really, I look at everything that comes out of the government, it's not even a trust but verify. I just assume they're lying until I do my research and found out that they stumbled into actually telling the truth about something. Governments across the planet, it's not just the American government, governments are corrupt. I don't know there's a government on the planet that I would say is a good government. That's why I'm a libertarian. I realize that as soon as you give people a ton of power, they almost instantly become corrupt. It's like oatmeal and water. You mix them together and suddenly you get what you get. So it is certainly not beyond the... It's no leap to say, oh, this could be a completely politically motivated indictment right before an election of one of the architects of the Trump movement, and it certainly could be completely made up out of whole cloth. But I'm also aware of how human beings act. And if you take this guy, this I think his name is Brian Colfage, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's the guy who set up We Build a Wall, and maybe just a wonderful dude, but if you throw $25 million in a bank account with him, he may find some ways to spend a little bit of that money that he said he wasn't going to spend on himself. This is human nature. I don't think he was a wealthy guy. It is a little odd to me that Steve Bannon, who is a wealthy guy, I believe Steve Bannon's one of those people who had a Goldman Sachs connection. I've told you. The Democrats, what you're watching this week when it comes to the conventions, you're watching the Citigroup convention. And then when you watch the Republican conventions, you're watching the Goldman Sachs convention. Essentially, that's what I see when I look at these political parties. The Citigroup versus Goldman Sachs. Steve Bannon's a wealthy guy. I think, I seem to recall, I really haven't done much talking about Steve Bannon since he left administration. I believe he even gets some Seinfeld money. I think he might have been in one of the partners in syndicating that show. And boy, you want to talk about a gravy train. Get in on Seinfeld syndication. Holy cow. That's a way to just keep the money flowing with doing absolutely nothing. But Steve Bannon's a wealthy guy. If he dipped his toe in any expenses to this fundraiser, that will be incredibly sad. And I would be surprised. He knows he's under a great deal of scrutiny. So we'll see. I had actually originally had notes before the Steve Bannon arrest was done. I put on my notes again. I don't think I've talked about it for like a week, but I'm curious. Has anybody seen a picture of Ghislaine Maxwell yet? Anybody seen a picture of Ghislaine Maxwell since she got arrested? I heard she was taken off of suicide watch, but I suspect she was never on it because she's never actually been in custody. I mean, come on. How long has it been now? 3 months? We're in some kind of a time warp because of all the craziness going on in the world right now. But it's 2 or 3 months that Ghislaine Maxwell has been in custody. You mean to tell me we do not have a picture of her arrest? We do not have a picture. Oh, we do have an aerial picture of the house that her corporation bought in New Hampshire. I have seen that. No activity around it. No police cars. No nothing. It's just like a drone camera footage of the house. Not even footage like film. Just a still picture. So we have seen kind of a picture of what might be the house. No pictures of Ghislaine being arrested. No pictures of her from a mugshot. No pictures of her from any of her hearings. Now they did do a pretty little watercolor you know, the court artists, when they don't let the media in, they have an artist in there to give you a rendering. And she appeared supposedly on a Zoom call. And so we've got a watercolor. It looks nothing like her, but a lot of the court artists, as talented as they are in drawing pretty pictures, they don't always look like the suspects. They don't look like the defendants in these things. So maybe it's chalked up to that. But one picture, no picture of her being transported to or from the Zoom call, no guards come out. And I mean, has anybody even heard of anybody who has a testimonial that they've even seen Ghislaine Maxwell? Any normal human beings? Not that we can necessarily trust that, but isn't it interesting that the world's most wanted woman has garnered no attention since she got arrested? Yeah, we got that little, oh, she's off suicide watch. Now, I could be wrong. She may be in custody. She may be sitting in a jail cell right now. I just find it very interesting. The world's most wanted woman, I would say that's probably accurate, wouldn't you? Most high profile criminal case probably on the planet, certainly in the United States, is arrested and there's not one single image of her anywhere. I suspect she's not even in custody. I had also had notes for today because there was the disappointing pardon earlier this week. I guess it was Monday. Trump announced he was going to be pardoning a very important person, and people started thinking, is it going to be Edward Snowden? And I think they said it was not going to be Snowden, that people started getting excited for a few hours that it might be Julian Assange. It turned out to be Susan B. Anthony. But I hadn't even mentioned yet, and this is a couple of weeks old, so certainly my bad, but we did have the first guilty plea in the Russiagate stuff, and this is that Kevin Kleinsmith guy. And the question I have is this it, or are the dominoes about to fall? Jack Posobiec, who's with One American News and a big Trump supporter, says that Comey, Brennan, Clapper, none of them have been interviewed. He says this will go nowhere. But a lot of people are waiting for Durham to release his report. Is it going to be a bombshell or is it going to be a dud? Trump had a quote. He said, that's just the beginning, I would imagine, Trump said, describing Kleinsmith as, quote, a corrupt attorney working for James Comey's very corrupt FBI. Now, I think a lot of people are expecting a great number of indictments that this Kevin Kleinsmith guy, is he facing any time? Is this a firing offense? Is it some kind of a censure? I mean, you know, I don't even really know exactly what he's facing here, because a lot of people I've seen commenting that they believe he's singing like a bird and he's going to give everybody else up. But if Posobiec's right that Comey, Brennan, Clapper, none of them have actually been even interviewed on this stuff as far as law enforcement is concerned, I got to tell you, I've said all along that I thought we would get, and I kept going back to Bruce Orr. I felt like he was going to go down, maybe Peter Strzok, but Bruce Orr, that was kind of my gut reaction, that he was going to get in some level of trouble. You remember Bruce and Nellie Orr, but we were going to get some small fry. But I got to tell you, Kevin Kleinsmith is a smaller fry than even Stroker Bruce Orr is in this thing. But I guess maybe there's a political calculation to this, and they're going to unroll a bunch of indictments and break this case wide open with the Durham report as an October surprise, a September surprise to get this thing rolling. We'll see. I'm skeptical, and I'm skeptical largely because of things like the fact that we have seen absolutely nothing from Ghislaine Maxwell. Jeffrey Epstein died in custody. There is no indication that there's any kind of investigation going into Hillary Clinton or the rest of the people that are so quite obviously criminals, and we're 3.5 years into the Trump administration. My patience wore out pretty much on the first day when Trump came out and said, oh, we need to leave her alone, she's a fine woman, about Hillary Clinton. That kind of took a little bit of the air out of my sails originally. But anyway, Steve Bannon, you want to call in? I'm going to take a break. When you call back, 601-879-0002. Did Steve Bannon screw up? Did they actually start pilfering money from this We Build the Wall thing? Or is this just a political witch hunt? I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I went through somewhat a rite of passage of middle age this morning that was both hilarious to me at the time and somewhat made me be a little reflective. I fell this morning in my house by myself, tangled up in cords from my laptop. Cord was connected. My phone was connected to my computer, uploading some photographs. I mean, I had cords just everywhere, and I stepped up to get up for a second, tangled up, and I busted. And it's one of the first times I think I have fallen in a long time. I've got pretty good balance. I'm like a cat. Pretty coordinated guy. I really don't have these problems. But I fell, and it's one of those things where, you know, when you fall, when you're, I always laugh at myself when I fall, particularly when I'm by myself, because, I don't know, I find those kinds of things funny. My cat seemed completely unconcerned. There was no sympathy. He just stared at me. I guess I woke him up. I was very upset, but I slammed my knee down into hardwood floors, and just, it was one of those moments where it really kind of hits you how old you are. I started thinking, okay, what are the chances? I haven't fallen probably in 20 years, so the chances of 20 years ago and now breaking something is probably something I need to consider. My knee, I'm sure I'm going to have a nice little bruise on it, but everything feels fine. I'm kind of sore, but it does make you do that reflection. I think, okay, you're a single guy, you're middle-aged, you might need to find yourself a wife sometime soon, because this is not going to be good, so I'll put the station on notice. If I don't show up, I'm never a no-show, no-call guy. That is not me. I think if I'm in a hospital, if they need to get the jaws of life to get me out of a car, I'll make it to my phone to call somebody and say, hey, not going to get into work today. So I'm not a no-show. If I no-show, no-call, then go to the house and see if you smell anything, because that would be the only reason. But it is one of those things where you just sit there and think, boy, if this had been really serious, there's really not anybody that would care for a prolonged period of time. Yep, it's time to settle back down, I guess. I'm looking at this stuff, talking about the arrest of Steve Bannon. Here's what the charges are. Acting U.S. Attorney Aubrey Strauss said, "It's so funny in today's climate when we've detected so much corruption at the Department of Justice, and I'm glad people are seeing that, because people like me, smarter people than me, people have done better research than me. I mean, I rely on true investigative reporters, the few that are withstanding out there. The Department of Justice has been corrupt for a long time. I mean, a long time. It doesn't mean there aren't good people who work for the FBI and all of these agencies. Of course there are. But as institutions, these big federal agencies, no bueno. I mean, we look back at the Department of Justice and you look at the FBI. It was well known that J. Edgar Hoover was blackmailing large swaths of people. How long was he FBI director? 32 years or something like that? That wasn't by accident. Nobody dared touch him because he had so much compromising information on people. I look at the FBI around the time of 9/11. All the corruption that went on during that period of time. This has been going on for a long time. So I'm thrilled to death that a lot of people who have been in this law and order above everything else, if you've got a badge, then you're a saint in this society. I'm really glad that you see the corruption of the Department of Justice. It's a little insulting to me that Donald Trump is trying to put into some of these stimulus bills that he wants to build a brand new FBI building. I got to tell you, when it comes to the top of the FBI in Washington, D.C., they might need to restore a little bit of trust before we give them $1 billion for a brand new swanky hangout. But when you do stories now, so many more people rightfully are suspicious when you start looking at these things. I mean, just and all that diatribe came from reading the first few words of this paragraph, which is acting U.S. Attorney Aubrey Strauss because immediately you have to start thinking, okay, well, who did they donate to? You know, who, are they corrupt? What side are they on? Are they, you know, good or bad? We don't know. No, we don't know about these prosecutors. And for you Democrats out there, you need to do a little bit of research in your girl, Kamala Harris, and look what she did to some of the people of California. This is another fascinating thing for me to watch. Is one of the Republican talking points is the Democrats are soft on crime, but you have got somebody in Kamala Harris who was hardcore on crime. Like, she wouldn't even let some innocent people out of jail. A lot of conservatives like to stack the jails full like cordwood. You want to get everybody off the streets if they did anything that transgressed the law that some politician passed. Well, that's what Kamala Harris did. She stacked them like cordwood. She was a thug in law enforcement as district attorney in San Francisco and then California. You want to talk about law and order? Boy, she'd bring the law down on anybody. Didn't matter there. So if you were a Democrat and a fan of Kamala Harris, think this is some genius pick by Joe Biden, you need to look at her record in California. Oh my gosh, she was brutal. And this is one of the problems with our justice system here. Now, they say our system is the worst in the world except for all the others, and there may be some truth to that. We have huge problems in our criminal justice system. And one of these problems is, depending on who holds the office, this idea that DAs are scored. They need wins. So even if in the middle of a trial it becomes readily apparent that somebody is not guilty, kind of like the rape trial of the lacrosse players in North Carolina, that was his name, Mike DeFong or something like that. This guy knew that they didn't do anything, but he was campaigning for re-election, so he wanted to really put it to them because the community was all for holding these guys accountable for this abuse of this. I think she was a black woman. So he put 6 or 7 lacrosse players through absolute hell for his own political ambitions. And this happens with DAs across the board. They want to be seen as winners in the courtroom. Justice doesn't really matter. When you talk about the Department of Justice, for a lot of cases, that's not what it is. It is about climbing that ladder in the criminal justice system to higher offices by getting all the wins you can possibly get. So, again, I can't get past these first 5 words, can I? Acting U.S. Attorney Audrey Strauss. Poor, that just is because of the suspicion that it arises. We can't just assume. You know, there would have been a time. It would have been naive, but there would have been a time where you hear something about it from an acting U.S. attorney and you just think, oh, wow, they're on the case. That's, you know, obviously somebody's done something wrong. They're going after them. I'm kind of thrilled that people are starting to question the legitimacy of these officers. Anyway, here's what she said. As alleged, the defendants, this is talking about Bannon and the rest of the people at We Build the Wall, as alleged, the defendants defrauded hundreds of thousands of donors, capitalizing on their interest in funding a border wall to raise millions of dollars under the false pretense that all of that money would be spent on construction, while repeatedly assuring donors that Brian Kilfage, am I saying that right? The founder and public face of We Build the Wall, would not be paid a cent. The defendant secretly schemed to pass hundreds of thousands of dollars to Kilfage, which he used to fund his lavish lifestyle. Now here's where it gets even murkier at this particular time, and the political season. We thank the USPIS, which is the United States Postal Inspectors Service, I guess, for their partnership in investigating the case, and we remain dedicated to rooting out and prosecuting fraud wherever we find it. So we've got the post office even involved in this as well. There's odd people in this thing that make me really wonder. I mean, again, Steve Bannon's a man of means. It certainly has been. I don't know. Maybe he's mismanaged his money. Maybe he's a little short these days. I don't know. But he's been a wealthy guy. And there's another guy in here, Timothy Shea, who is, I believe, something like the deputy director of the DEA, something along those lines. It would be very odd for him to make this kind of mistake and get involved in this kind of corruption. So that makes me kind of suspect of the charges. But who knows? Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, Mike. I just wanted to share this one thing, man. All funds that are out there, man, hardly any of them are 100% donating to whatever the cause is.
Yeah, that's true.
It's everything from the Wounded Warriors on down, man. I mean, people give, but a lot of times, man, some of those monies, man, are hardly ever even seen in these organizations. That's why you got to do your research.
Yeah, there's a group. Do you remember the name? There's a group that does a good job of looking and breaking down administrative costs. They kind of watch these charities. But you're exactly right. I mean, that's one of those things where you've got to be on. It's a shame because so many of us want to help so many different causes, but just doling out money based on a phone call or any of that kind of stuff is always a danger.
Yeah, and any kind of way they can see where some enthusiasm has been generated, man, all of a sudden we got a fund towards that. And this has just been the way of society for a long time. And it's sad, like you said, man, but people are constantly taking advantage of them. And not only that, but nine times out of ten, if you do your research, it's being these organizations are being started by millionaires.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what you call greed.
Yeah.
Greed. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, man, you're doing a great job, man. Keep it up, man.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate the call. I remember there was there's been some exposés on these groups that make the phone calls. You know, there's whole industries based around people that do telemarketing. They get huge chunks of the donations. You know, these charities will hire people to start to make the phone calls and take them. And the people making the phone call, maybe not the individual, but the companies that do this robo-dialing for some charities takes huge chunks out of it. It is a bit of a minefield in trying to get money to a particular person. Political contributions aren't any better, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I think I'd rather give money to a scammer than give it to one of the two major political parties at this point. But there's always this tendency of people when you get around a lot of money. Well, hopefully, this Colfage guy. I mean, you know, what he's doing is I like it to a degree. The idea that citizens themselves get together and try to solve problems to me is always better than the government doing it. Now, when it comes to border security, that's a little bit of a different issue. But at the same time, so many Americans won't get off their butts and do anything. They're waiting for some savior to come along and save us all. If you just vote a little harder, we're going to fix all the ills. I like the people who get up and get something done, and that's at least what this Brian Colfage seemed like he was doing. Let's hope that this story does not turn out to be true. I've looked at his I looked at his Twitter feed to see if he's addressed it. Let me refresh it here. The last thing he's got is he said on the 18th that they've moved their fundraising page from GoFundMe because GoFundMe supports Black Lives Matter. So he said We Build the Wall has officially deleted its campaign from the site and are moving to Fundraiser. That's R-A-Z-R. Said they had the largest GoFundMe campaign in history. We won't put up with censorship. Don't use their platform, talking about GoFundMe. But he has not, to his Twitter feed, I don't see anything that says where they have addressed the issue. I looked at We Build the Wall to see if they put out a statement at all on there. And as far as I can see, latest tweet is that one from August 18th from Colfage that says we won't be using GoFundMe anymore. So it doesn't look like they've responded to it. But if anybody has any extra information that I'm not privy to right now, the We Build the Wall website is up and running, and it's still full of pictures and videos, just like it always was. It doesn't look like they've made a comment on these arrests either. So it's going to be a story that we're going to have to follow. But I know a lot of people have already made up their mind. Not me. I'll wait and see where the facts take us. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number 601-879-0002. Anybody got any inside scoop on the Steve Bannon arrest? I was looking to see if there were any mugshots of him yet or any pictures of his arrest. I haven't seen them yet, but I'm just telling you, if we see there's quick pictures of Steve Bannon, God knows the media is going to want to put out mug shots of him or anything they can that show that he's been perp walked. But we still haven't seen anything of Ghislaine. It's going to make me even more suspicious. I'm just going to warn you up front, because usually high-profile people, we see some evidence of their arrest. It's just strangely for Ghislaine Maxwell, we see no evidence of it. Now, there's a lot of talk. I was talking about this arrest of this Kevin Kleinsmith guy. One of the things that I hear a lot of people who say there's a bunch of arrests about to happen in Washington, D.C. of this to break up this deep state stuff is the thing that, well, these investigations take time. Well, I got to tell you, it doesn't seem like the ones that are arresting Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, Steve Bannon now. How is it that they are able to get their investigations, their arrests, their public shamings out so quickly, while anybody who within the Justice Department or the deep state, why does it take so long to get them? That seems to be an issue to be considered. I don't think that these indictments are coming. I don't think William Barr, I think William Barr is a deep state swamp creature himself, and I don't think he is the guy for the job of cleaning up Washington, D.C., since he has existed in Washington, D.C. since his start with the CIA back in the 70s. And yes, he started with the CIA. I've got some good clips tomorrow for tomorrow's show and False Flag Friday. I played a lot yesterday from the Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s interview with Ron Paul, talking particularly about vaccines, but he also had some very interesting things to say about the CIA and the assassination of Kennedy and of RFK Jr. and RFK Sr., Robert Kennedy, by Sirhan Sirhan. He's done his research on that, and what's interesting about his comments that I'll play tomorrow is that he grew up thinking that Sirhan Sirhan was just guilty. There's no way anybody else did it. And someone forced him, somebody he really admired, just begged him to start looking at the autopsy reports, and he came away with a different conclusion in the end. Nothing is as it is seen these days, let me put it that way. I guess I'll do a little bit of good news today. I don't know where else to go with Steve Bannon. Like I say, I think most people either see this as a hatchet job on another Trump supporter, or people see it as another corrupt Trump administration official. Depends on what your everything is a Rorschach test. Everybody has their preconceived ideas. So I guess we'll just have to wait for the facts to shake out on that one. But let's get to some good news here. A group of Finnish researchers believe they've discovered what people have spent centuries searching for: a cure for hangovers. Man, this is about 30 years too late, I got to tell you. I could have used this in college, and particularly in my 20s. A dose of 1,200 milligrams of amino acid L-cysteine was found to reduce alcohol-related nausea and headache, while a dose of 600 milligrams helped alleviate stress and anxiety, according to a study published in the Journal of Alcohol and Alcoholism by researchers at the University of Helsinki and the University of Eastern Finland. I got to tell you, as I read that, it's the first time I'm really reading it, if this is a journal about alcoholism, I don't know you want to tell the people that may be combating that disease that you can fix their hangovers for them. The randomized double-blind study. I mean, because really, when you think about it, there have been how many times for those of us out here who might enjoy a night out, drinking a little more than we should, and I certainly have had my fair share of those in my life, how many times do you consider stopping drinking completely, based entirely on the next day's nausea and headache? How many times I can never do this to myself again. Let's see. It said the randomized double-blind study had 19 healthy male volunteers consuming alcohol doses of 1.5 grams per kilogram over 3 hours in a controlled setting. The subjects were then asked to swallow placebo or L-cysteine tablets containing vitamin supplements. I knew it. I'm telling you, I do my natural health show, and this is just more evidence that God has put the stuff on our planet in natural form to combat just about everything, and we finally unlock the Holy Grail and find out that we've also been provided with natural cures for hangovers as well. I'm telling you, it's all right at our fingertips. But anyway, some good news in all this, because in coronavirus, I think we talked a little bit yesterday about the fact that alcohol sales are up about 300%. 500%, but some mail order and online alcohol delivery services have seen huge upticks. Now, that's misleading because people aren't going to bars and consuming. They're consuming at home. So you would expect that delivered alcohol sales would go up. But people are drinking more than ever, so we may not have the supposed cure for the supposed coronavirus, but at least we can address the drinking that's going on in response to the horrible lockdowns that it has created. All right, take one more quick break, come back for one more segment. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment for today here on the Mike Madison Show, WYAB. The rest of, if Steve Bannon were to call me, or Brian Colfage from We Build the Wall, if they wanted a good recommendation from me, having been arrested today, I'd tell them to call Danks, Miller, and Corey. How about that for a segue? Danks, Miller, and Corey, if you need an attorney for something, if your freedom or your finances are on the line, any kind of, they have a very, very broad swath of experience. Danks, Miller, and Corey, the law firm downtown Jackson. And I really recommend them. They do everything from business type things to criminal defense, just about anything. They've got 100 years of experience, more than that, between the partners there. This is a small firm, so you're not looking at some giant firm where you get lost with everybody else. This is a small firm with a ton of great experience, started by the Dale Danks, the former mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, a very popular mayor, got us through the floods of 79. But anyway, they've got a large practice, a large expertise field in their practice. You can go check them out on their website. You can see what all they deal with. It's DanksMillerCorey.com. That's DanksMillerCorey.com. You'll see all the different areas that they specialize in. Or you can reach them at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101. I can tell you from personal experience, the last thing you want to do is make a mistake in who you hire as an attorney. You may have a buddy or a cousin that just got out of law school, but when you have got serious things on the line, when you want to get it done right, you need to hire a good, competent attorney. And that's what Danks, Miller, and Corey will offer you, so check them out. I was looking at doing research, trying to find a little bit more information on Bannon stuff. I don't see much new stuff coming out, but I did run across this story that really, I'm as guilty as other people. It's called confirmation bias. This is why people like Sean Hannity are so, boy, I pick on Sean Hannity, but oh, I think he's terrible. Anyway, confirmation bias is, you know, you look for things that bolster the point of view you have to make us all feel like we're really smart. Now, I am very open to people challenging. I'll see a lot of things I disagree with, and I'll read through them and try to think it in my mind. Maybe they make a good point. There's a lot of times I hear things, whether it's in politics or in life or anything, where I will say this statement. I will say, huh, I never thought about it that way. Now, this is a rare statement to hear in a political discussion, but it is absolutely true. If you're honest and you're not just waiting to spew out a talking point, you know, you can win. If you want to see Trump win, or you want to see more people reject the left, you can engage people. And there are some on the left that are receptive to calm, rational thought. Screaming at them and calling them a libtard doesn't work, but you can actually talk to people. But I do, you know, confirmation bias sometimes, particularly in a headline, I'll click on a story. And this story is by Raul Iargi Meijer. I'm probably butchering that name, but it's on a site called The Automatic Earth. And just the first line of it really touches me. It says, no matter how much I read and watch, I can't shake the idea, and less so as I go along, that the Democrats don't really honestly want to win the 2020 presidential election. And this is a story about, you know, the fact that Joe Biden is who he is. He's got mental problems. He inspires absolutely no passion on the left. All of the passion is either pro or against Donald Trump. And this whole story goes through this, and I cannot shake the idea that, seriously, that maybe the Democrats are trying to throw this election. I've been talking about it for weeks when I realized they were actually going to settle on Joe Biden. And I assume, is tonight the night that he's supposed to accept the nomination? I guess Kamala did her thing last night, and he's supposed to do his thing tonight. It's still months to go. We could still have a last-minute replacement. I wouldn't anticipate anything funky happening today, but it's 2020, man. This is the year where there are no rules, so we'll see if Joe Biden is actually the guy on the ballot. But it does. It feels like Democrats are just trying to absolutely lose this election. And last night or the night before, I'll tell you, I'm going to give a free of charge here if anybody wants to get this to the Trump campaign. You want to talk about a slam dunk campaign commercial. It's a slam dunk. For all of the people that are kind of in the middle, for the more sane Democrats that are out there, this is a winner. If you have not seen this video of this poor guy who was drugged out of his truck and this guy kicks him in the head and just knocks him out in the middle of the street. I mean, there's no shortage of these left mobs abusing everybody from elderly women down to young children or surrounding people's homes and telling them they're going to burn the place if they don't give them their house. It's not, I mean, it's just, there's no lack of stuff, of outrage, of seeing these left-wing mobs and what they do, smashing windows or setting stuff on fire or looting, any of those things. But this picture, this image is very quick. It's very clean, meaning there's not very many people around. It is one guy who was forced to sit on the ground. He's done nothing to anybody except apparently he was trying to help a woman, or actually a transgender woman, as how it was reported. He was trying to help her find some of her stolen goods during one of these nights of protests and rampages and loots and looting and all that. He's done nothing to anybody. He's drug out of his truck after he wrecks it trying to get away from this mob. And they force him into a seated position in the middle of the street, and they kind of separate, and this one guy comes out from behind, runs up to him and kicks him square in the side of the head and just knocks him out cold right then and there in the middle of the street. It's a very, when I say it's a very clean picture, there's no ambiguity of what went on. There is no ambiguity as to the amount of cruelty and callousness of that kind of an act. There's nothing that's more despicable to about 90% of the population. And understanding that maybe I'm exaggerating, but maybe 10% of the population thinks that kind of stuff is justified because this guy was, a white male. I don't know. I don't know why you would justify it, but some people are just so sick in today's society that they think it's okay. But with 90% of the people in this country, and if Trump wants to appeal to those people to do a campaign commercial with just that image, as grotesque as it is, unfortunate, it's reality. Hiding from it doesn't do anything. You need to see it. A very, very calm commercial. Not, you know, one of the things I can't stand is there's this idea here that they're putting out that says, if you elect Joe Biden, this is what America will look for. And they show the riots and the looting and the beatings and stuff like that. There's one small inconvenient problem with that. Trump's running the country right now, and it is actually happening right now as Trump is president. Now, I don't blame Donald Trump for that, and I don't even want him to send federal troops in to crack heads. I mean, this is the fault of the Democratic mayors and Democratic governors that won't regain their streets, but it's a little hard to make the case that something that's going on right now you can lay at the feet of somebody who may take office down the road. Would Joe Biden be softer on crime? Sure. I'm not going to disagree with that, but it is happening right now, and it is during Trump's term. So I wouldn't go crazy like that, but to show that image very calmly and just say for Trump or the GOP, if they want to do a commercial out of it, just saying very calmly, look, we're not a perfect country. We still have a lot of work to do on a whole host of issues. I've spent a good part of this hour talking about the corruption in the Justice Department. It's been going on for decades. It has abused minority community. It has abused everybody in this country that's not part of the elite donor class. But to just have a commercial that goes, look, you know, we're not perfect. We've got a lot of work to do on a whole host of issues, but this is what the left has become. This is what the left is. And this approach by the left at this time in history will lead us to absolute disaster. That is not reason. That is not debate. That is pure left-wing brutality. And I would do this kind of a commercial in a very calm manner. not pointing fingers, not even showing a picture of Joe Biden, just saying, look, we can't have this. If the left and the right have things that we disagree on and we need to sort them out, then there's times for debate and for talking and for trying to figure things out. I mean, believe me, the government will never figure anything out. They will never make anything better, regardless of who's in office, as far as I'm concerned. But to do a calm commercial and show that image of that guy kicking that poor kid in the head in the middle of the street is probably a 10-point swing, because I think there's a lot of sane people out there, right, left, and center, who can look at that and see it for exactly what it is, which is just abject brutality. It has nothing to do with improving the lives of black citizens. It has nothing to do with speaking up or protesting for people that you feel might have been abused. It is pure brutality. And it's not an isolated incident, certainly, but the image is just so stark to see that. And that is what many people on the left have embraced, whether it's Antifa or just this guy. I don't know if this guy was part of Antifa or just a nut job or whatever it is, but it is that madness of crowds that the left has spawned and encouraged that is so, there's such a bright line. You've got a candidate in Joe Biden that inspires nothing from anybody except he's not Donald Trump. And boy, it just doesn't seem, this is Trump's election to lose. Notwithstanding any fraud and mail-in voting, I know there's a whole other bunch of other factors there, but boy, it just seems like it's never been easier to get a message out. Donald Trump has the bully pulpit, and he's not in charge of these people kicking others in the head. It seems like this should be a slam dunk election. I guess we'll see. That's all the time I got. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.